You are listening to Get Real Podcast.
Well, Dan, as you know, one of the things that I enjoy doing is searching and looking for music that I have not heard before and most people haven't heard before, because there's just so much good music out there and so many good bands that nobody's aware of. They're just not in the corporate stream.
Well, it's a weird time. Everything's changed. You know, the whole paradigm of the way bands were discovered, the way talent was, now it's all like sliced up in a digital world. And it's like finding a needle in a haystack, I think.
It is, but it gives you the opportunity to find it. If we didn't have that digital world now.
You're an addict.
I am.
You lurk around the internet and just find wonderful.
2 o'clock in the morning, I'm up with a cup of coffee looking for obscure bands that I've never heard of before. And there is so much good music that's out there. And there is a band that I found, it was about a year ago, that I became very intrigued with, just with their name and their music. I really liked the music that they were putting out. They're a band from Riga, Latvia. Their name is Revelation Attic. And when I started to listen to their music, I was like, you know what? That's a band that I would like to interview sometime. And today we have the opportunity to hop on the Get Real G6 jet. Via the World Wide Web, that is, of course, because we don't have a lot of money anyway. But we are going to be able to interview and spend some time with Rasa and her husband, another power team, husband and wife duo, putting out great music. Her husband, and I hope I don't slice this up too bad because I'm not from Latvia. I'm from Connecticut and I live in South Carolina. Guntis, is it?
Yes, it's pretty much okay.
Okay, good. I'm good. I'm good for right now.
I think he was being kind.
He was.
I think you murdered it, but that's...
We have them both on the line. They are a power couple, great musicians, really fun people to be around. I've had some interaction with Rasa over the internet the past couple days getting ready for this, and she's a lot of fun. And we're going to find out about Revelation Attic. It's a very interesting name. But first of all, I want to know, Rasa, can you tell us how it was that you and your husband met and how Revelation Attic came about?
Maybe I will transfer this question to my husband.
Okay, I will tell how we met. We met basically on internet. There is a local website where bands are searching for band members. And we are searching for a vocalist in our old band. And then we find the Rasa. And we start to make music together. But it was our old project that is no more existing at the moment. And then we start to do music together. And as we make music, our relationship starts after that. But about the Revelation Attic, how we came up with that name.
So, Rasa, was it love at first sight for you?
No.
I love the honesty.
I love the long pause. That's good. Do tell. This is getting good.
Yeah, give us the dirt.
No, at the beginning, we were just friends. We were so in music and talked all about music, and then somehow it turned, like in romantic movies, you know, somehow it turned out that we are more than just friends.
That's a beautiful story. It really is, how music brought the two of you together. And I think that's why your music is so good, is because you two are so compatible with each other, and it just flows from you. And Rasa, you're the singer-songwriter, and your husband, he plays bass, guitar, and he's the composer. Is that correct?
Yes.
So when you guys make music, do you come up with the lyrics first, or does he come up with the musical composition first, or does it just all come together at one time? How does that work for you guys?
Usually he has composed like phonogram, and then I write the lyrics and the singing melody, and that's usually how it happens. That I finish the song with the singing melody and the lyrics, and Guntis has done all that symphonic work that you can hear when you listen.
Basically, it all starts with some guitar riffs or some theme, something like that, and then it grows and grows, and then it becomes a song.
So, Rasa, when you started singing, who inspired you to start singing? How did you find out that you had that gift? When did it all start for you, the music journey?
My grandma kind of pushed me into that direction. Because when she was young, she was like about to sing in opera, and she couldn't because of her situation home. And so her dream was that I could sing, and she heard me little singing, and then my mom and dad came up with the idea that I should sing in contests, song contests, and then I met the Cranberries, and that was my favorite band like for 15, 16 years. And Sinead O'Connor also inspired me. Those were the ladies that I'm thankful for, and of course my family for supporting me.
That's really special that you had a family that supported you in what your passion was. Yeah, definitely the Cranberries and Sinead O'Connor, very unique.
I was really into them back
in the day. I mean, they are very different, very skilled. And you were actually on Latvian TV back in 2005, was it?
Yes.
And you performed a Sinead O'Connor song.
Yes.
And I'm going to play that, a little piece of that, so that people can hear how controlled your vocals are. When I saw it, it just blew me away. The talent that you have is just amazing. So this is Rasa on Latvian TV. Just take a listen to this, and everybody's going to probably agree with me that this is just absolutely amazing. One of the songs that you guys do on your first album is a Kate Bush song. And I've always been a Kate Bush fan. This Woman's Work is the song that you do on the album. How did Kate Bush influence your style and your music? Because when I watch you and when I hear you, I hear a little bit of Kate Bush in there as well.
Oh, that's nice. Actually, I heard the cover version for Running Up That Hill by Within Temptation, because I wasn't aware of a singer like Kate Bush, because she was singing already in 80s, and I was just born in 80s, and so it was like kind of like that way. I used to listen Kate for a while, and I play her album 50 Words for Snow every time when snow is falling. And
What's your favorite Kate Bush song?
Misty?
Okay. The first time that I heard of Kate Bush was when she did the duet with Peter Gabriel on his album. So she did the female vocals on the song Don't Give Up. And yeah, I just found it very soothing. And that's how I got into Kate Bush. And then Running Up That Hill was big when I was a teenager and cool in high school. Well, I'm still cool, but back
when never cool.
I was too.
You were not.
Yes, I was.
I didn't know you, to be fair. You were probably
so
cool.
I was cool in my own mind. But Running Up That Hill, that was a song that just really epitomized the 80s. And I didn't experience her earlier stuff until a few years ago when I found the song Wuthering Heights. And the first time I saw and heard that song, it startled me because it's just all over the place. And I went back and listened to it again after the first time, after I was startled by it. And I was like, this is just artistic beauty, the way that she controls her voice and just goes off the chain. And what a wonderful, gifted singer. And I definitely hear Kate Bush's influence in your voice and your vocals.
That's interesting. The three vocalists that you've brought up, Rasa, they take a little more chance. It's a riskier vocal style. I think that's exciting. It was probably challenging or something that makes it more engaging, you know, to listen to.
And so, you have to be skilled to do that.
Oh, yeah. Jumping from regular to falsetto to all of the, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, that takes a lot of skill. Guntas, when did you get into music? When was the first time that you wrote a composition? How old were you at that time? Give us the deets on that, man.
I start playing a guitar in 2009, in February. I remember that correctly because I scraped that number on my first guitar to remember.
Oh, that's good.
That's cool.
You make me feel bad, though, because I've been playing guitar since I was like 18, and you're a billion times better than I will ever be. So anyway, that's cool.
This guitar playing is not my favorite thing now. Now I'm a bass player, basically. Guitar I'm playing just because there is no one who plays guitars in our band. but basically, I play bass. But about the bass, it came accidentally. One time I pick up bass in my hands, and this is it. It's stuck in my hands. And now I'm a bass player. And it starts, I don't remember exactly, but a few years later. And my first songs that I wrote, they are pretty old, and they are nothing but to remember. They are pretty crappy songs. But everything is starting with something. And these first songs, they need to be written so I can get more and better.
That is so true. I feel that way about the podcasts and interviews that Dan and I have done. If you go back into the archives, we had to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And it progressively gets better. And that's really encouraging for our listeners because, Guntas, we have a lot of listeners that are artists and are working to be artists and want to express themselves through their art. And sometimes when you're an artist, you run into frustration. It's like, oh, I'm not quite where I want to be. But when I first heard your music, it took me back. It was really good off of your first album, Cradle of Life.
And thank you.
One of the things that intrigues me a lot about you is the themes that you present, not just in your music, but it seems like everything is very well thought out, very thematic. That's a big word, isn't it?
I'm impressed.
Wow, I used a big word today. Very thematic and inspired, and it looks like there's a definite message that you want to get across. And I was fascinated by the name of your band, Revelation Attic. What does that name mean to you, and what do you want people that come in contact with you, what do you want them to know about you through that name?
Okay. Attic basically is a place above us. It's something higher.
Maybe dustier.
Mm-hmm. Well, but
in that upstairs area, you can look and find revelations. Revelations,
wow,
about yourself, about God, about the meaning of life, and so on.
And that's it, what we are doing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's powerful.
That is powerful.
Can I nerd out?
Oh,
on
you
some,
can.
Some
go
bass
for it, bro.
Stuff. Guntas, on as far as bass guitar, I know enough to be dangerous, but it seems to me, and I want to know whether you agree, that when it comes to songwriting and composing, sometimes establishing the bass line makes writing a song so much easier. Do you feel that that is easier to write songs? Because I can write them on piano or on guitar or on different things, but somehow I'll have a completely different capture of the structure of the song if I write the bass line, you know, first. Do you feel that's true?
It's always different when you are writing songs on guitar, on bass, or piano. It's always something different. But what about the bass? It's a foundation. If you have great foundation, then you can add everything up to it. But yeah, maybe it is the basis. From the bass start all the music.
Do you have any players or influences that are high on your list as far as, you know, that have influenced you or that you are kind of like bass heroes, you know?
I listen to classic rock musicians like Deep Purple, like Pink Floyd, like Kiss and other. And in rock music, the bass player are playing more interesting stuff than in metal music, basically.
Exactly. And I noticed that in your playing. When I listened to that song earlier, I thought, I hear a little end twistle. This is a little more classic rock than metal, which I find way more interesting. I mean, I love metal, but it's like sometimes bass is very limited and it's very just rhythmic. And you were doing more kind of three-dimensional playing. I was like, this is interesting. Okay.
It is. And I'm thinking, can I play some interesting bass parts in a metal song, but that song still must be a metal song, not to convert it in a rock song. Mm-hmm. No, I'm trying to do that.
Yeah, 10 seconds into the songs that Glenn Upside was down. Playing to me,
yeah.
I heard that and I was like, this is way more interesting bass work than regular metal.
You brought up Upside Down with the interesting bass work in it, and I find that song very interesting. And I'd like to know, and this is a question for both of you, Upside Down. Let me just read the lyrics from Upside Down real quick for our listeners, and we're going to let them take a listen to it after we talk about it. These are the lyrics. I cannot feel white rope around my neck, though it seems it's too late. You always need few drops of wine to make me feel like I just broke my spine. I should have seen you turning the whole universe upside down. Your hell is real. There's no chance for doubt because I felt flames and chains on my skin. I should have seen you turning the whole universe upside down. Upside down is the world. Upside down is the world. I should have seen you turning the whole universe upside down. Why I want to leave it? Because the seed of truth has been sown. This is very profound.
Yeah.
This is very profound, very poetic. I want to know what was it, and both of you can answer this question. What inspired this song, Upside Down?
It's really a personal song. It's about addictions. And about the evil forces who try to consume us and how to survive the fight and move on. And like I was singing that song, using the word you to devil.
Okay.
And so it maybe some people can relate to that song because they have experienced something like that in their personal lives.
That's very profound. And I did not realize this until I started putting the interview questions together. Rasa and I actually have something in common, and it's not great vocals. I can't sing like she does, but
go ahead and try. I want to hear it. Glenn's gonna try.
Sounds like dying cats. That's me that sounds like dying cats. I'm sorry. You're a theologian. You've been to theology school.
Yes.
Where did you study theology?
At Latvian University.
And that's your master's degree, correct? You have a master's in theology?
Yeah, master's, yes.
There we go. Bingo. I knew this was going to be a great interview. I just knew it. Great metal, great theology. That's what the Get Real podcast is all about.
Well, you know what? It's hard for me to believe that actually harder music was really frowned on from a lot of Christians. A lot of people are like, oh, what does that have to do with the kingdom of God? But if you look and you listen to the themes, to the sobriety of the subject matter, the big questions of theology, of life, death, heaven, hell, apocalypse. I mean, all the things that are going on, sin, redemption, the cross, blood. That's intense stuff. And I think it's communicated very well with their type of genre of music.
You know? Yes. So. And I like Upside Down. And I do want to ask this question. Because the universe, it is upside down, not just in people's personal lives right now where they're dealing with things like addiction, but you take a look, I can't stand watching the news anymore because it's just all about the pandemic and coronavirus going on and the stuff that's going on out there, which is real. But the world is upside down. We are living in an upside down world, and I think people are finally admitting to that fact that the world is upside down. When you guys wrote this song, you were writing about personal addictions, personal battles with the devil, the demonic evil forces. Did you foresee or have any sense at all when you wrote this song that it would get to this scale where the entire world is just completely upside down at this point in time? Was that
like.
Yeah, was that something that was stirring in you when you were writing this? Because in a way, I see this as kind of a prophetic song of what we're moving in right now. It's very appropriate for today.
I just wanted to say, I'm no prophet.
What you did touch upon in this song is very appropriate for the time that we're living in right now.
I kind of see this like a world slowly moving to its end. And our planet, our everything, like I'm in apocalyptic times, I'm living in apocalyptic times. And so I'm not wondering about catastrophes and some illness, sickness and fires, and I think that's part of the process that we should go through, because I think it's end of time season started.
I think Dan and I both agree with you on that.
Some of that used to sound a little far out, like a little over the top, you know, and now it's like, just if you do watch the news or you look at the headlines and you see pestilence, you see volcanoes, earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars. I mean, just crazy stuff going on. Locusts.
And on top of that, Dan and Rasa and Guntis, something that I was reading today just before we did this interview, I was reading about murder wasps. They are wasps that are very big. They're like a big, big wasp. And when they sting you, they've got enough venom. If you get enough stings from this particular wasp, it will kill you. Mm. And it says that when you get stung by the wasp, it feels like metal shooting through your veins. Mm. It's absolutely horrible. Ooh. And they're pretty big. And they found them, I think, they found them in the United States. I can't remember what state. They found two of them in this state in the United States. And of all the things, here we go with more calamity and pestilence.
It sounds like a metal band.
Murder
remember?
Wasps.
I used to be the drummer for Murder Wasps.
I have a lot of fun with band names. I really like how theirs is so thought out.
Yeah.
I was thinking that I could start one called Revelation Garage. You've seen my garage, haven't you, Dan? You may enter, but never return.
Oh, Glenn.
Well, here's Upside Down by Revelation Attic.
Drops of wine to make me feel
You know what I've noticed about you, Glenn?
What?
Is that you really just kind of want to be a DJ.
I do.
There's part of Glenn, y'all, growing up through the 70s and 80s, we're old guys. But yeah. Glenn, I think, really wanted to be the guy playing the hits. Like, okay, we'll be right back, and then you play the records. That's you. I know you well enough. I figured it out.
When I was in sixth grade, after I gave up on the hope of becoming a starfighter for the Intergalactic Space Force.
Nerd.
I wanted to be a disc jockey, and I was fascinated with radio.
Okay.
So that's how this all started.
Yeah, you get a spring in your step when you're like, we'll be right back, but first, upside down.
And you know what else I wanted to do, Dan?
What?
I wanted to have a radio station in my own room.
Okay. Well, hey, now you
we got the fishbowl right here. You have another song that I really like, Where Are You, My King, which is a little bit more on the positive side. Can you tell us about that song?
It's about turning from paganism, ancient Egyptian religion, and occult stuff and exorcism things to Christianity, like a saving grace. Maybe that's why it feels so light and not so aggressive.
It's very hopeful sounding. It's very romantic as well. There's a romance to it. These are the words to Where Are You, My King? I have lived inside dark woods, had almost lost myself. Will anybody be with me? I'll see real soon. I stand up, I go forth to fulfill my destiny. Will I see my guiding light? Shadows of ghosts now are hunting me. Are you going to believe? Will you be with me? Warriors came to take me far away. I've never meant to say goodbye. I'm not gonna say, where are you, my king? Man, that's the way I've been feeling the past couple months with everything going on. And I think that's why this song resounds with me. There's a romance when you fall in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
Where are you, my king? Where are you, my stone of love and faith? I do want to see you here in this fight with demons in my head. Where are you, my king? Where are you, my stone of love and faith? I do want to see you here in this fight with the demons in my head. These screaming crows can't eat my soul. They cannot destroy my faith, and I don't want to run away. That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. You know, even if you didn't have the music behind this, Rasa, it's just beautiful poetry.
Oh, thank you.
You write poetry growing up as a young girl? Did you do that?
Actually, no. I hated poetry. And I still do.
I love the honesty.
Oh, that's funny. You're like, was it love at first light? She's like, no.
No, and I hate poetry. It's kind of like my life, all the things that I said I would never do or never do again.
Don't do that. Don't ever say, do you catch yourself?
Like, I do.
I'm 49, you're 48, and I have learned a lesson. If y'all haven't learned this one, you might want to jot it down. Just don't say, I will never drive a car, or I will never do. And then I find myself doing it, and I experience God's sense of humor, I think. I'm sitting there doing the exact same thing I told myself, never, I'll never do. And then I'm like, oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yes, yes. When you were in college, you were one of those guys, I'll never drive a minivan.
I had three kids, and it's like you have special muscles for moving the car seats inside and out of the minivan, you know? And I'm like, oh, this is the death of cool.
I drove a minivan too, so because I had four kids.
I saw a minivan in traffic the other day, and it had a sticker on the back of it saying, I used to be cool. That's really good. I feel like my whole life is that. I used to be cool in my own head.
In your own head, exactly. We were both cool back in the day.
notes had almost lost myself. Will anybody be with me? I'll see real soon. I stand up, I go forth to fulfill my destiny. Will I see my guiding light? Shine.
lot of our listeners are not going to realize this, but this is the first interview that you guys have done, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We are so excited to be able to interview. As I said at the beginning of the program, you are a band that I've wanted to interview because I found your themes and everything just so fascinating. I really could sense that there was something deeply spiritual and deeply thoughtful going on there. And that's what we do here at the Get Real Podcast. We want to get real and find out the story behind the story.
Now, as far as touring or playing publicly, I know here and most places around the world have been deeply affected by the coronavirus. I would assume that in Latvia, it's probably the same. There's probably not a whole lot of gigs going on. Are y'all affected?
Yes, we are all sitting at homes watching YouTube.
It's almost like you can write music right now. You know, you can write a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, we exactly are doing that in that moment. In these days, we are working on some stuff, some new stuff.
And I read, and I could be mistaken, but I read that there's a second album coming out soon. Is that correct?
Yes.
When we are thinking it's soon, we try to do it be soon, but it not goes as fast as we wanted to. And we have a lot of work to do, but now when this pandemic is, thank God, we have a lot more time to do some songwriting.
Do you do the mixing and the recording as well, or does someone help y'all with that? Do you outsource that to like a studio?
We are recording by ourselves, but there are guys who are mixing and mastering for us. I try to do it by myself. I learning and trying and mixing and mastering whole year, and this result was not so great, and think it will be better when some professional master and mix and master engineer will do this work.
It's hard to do it all. Yeah, it's hard to do everything.
To do in, especially if you don't really know what you are doing.
What is this knob?
Don't push that button.
Yes, something like that.
Where can our listeners find your music? Where can they download it, and how can they best support you guys?
Some of our songs are on YouTube, on our channel, and people can listen and download our music on every streaming platform that is available, on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, Google Play, and on all others.
What we're going to do is, I've thoroughly enjoyed this interview, and as I said earlier, this is one that I've been wanting to do for a while, so it's a privilege to have you on. Every month here at the Get Real Podcast and Lithos Cry on our website, we feature an artist every month, and we've just entered into the month of May already. I've kind of lost track of days, and everything feels like the same thing. But we are in the month of May, and we are going to feature Revelation Attic on our website as the artist of the month, and we will put the links to your music and to your Facebook page for our listeners so they can find you easily by going to our website at lithoscry.com. It's our way of serving you and helping you out, because the music that you're putting out, not only is it quality music, but it's got hope in it, and it's really got a very strong message that I believe glorifies God. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for
opportunity.
If you want to reach out to Dan and I at the Old Fishbowl here in South Carolina, you can reach out to us at lithoscry.com or send us an email at lithoscry@gmail.com.
lithoscry.com.